The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now let's talk about love. Do you remember your first date or the first time you met your other half? How did it happen? Where was it? You know, nowadays it's not surprising to hear couples getting together after meeting on an online dating platform. A lot of cases, and I know quite a number of them, where couples get married and they have kids together. It's perfectly normal. And you know, right here, one of the leading data app platforms, in fact, is Paktor. Now, Paktor started with a mission of connecting singles in Asia through technology-enabled platforms. It's since expanded beyond Singapore to the rest of Southeast Asia, North Asia as well, and it's currently a leading data brand in Taiwan as well as South Korea. Now, it's grown to be a clear market leader and was the first dating company to secure a Series A funding amounting to $5 million. This was back in the year 2014. But how does Paktor match the couples up? And is there some sort of algorithm that, you know, they have that other dating platforms don't? We have with us the CEO of Paktor to tell us more, Shin Dre. Shin, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
And this is the second time I've had you on a show that I was hosting. The first time was some 13 years ago.
Yes.
You know how it is, you meet someone from your past and you start to go back to your past and become a kid again. But no, I'm going to control myself. Good to see you. Tell us a little bit about Paktor. It's evolved a lot over the years, hasn't it?
Yes, we have grown a lot. So Paktor started as a tech startup based out of Singapore.
Okay.
So when we first launched the app, we were present in mainly Southeast Asia and Singapore. Mm. But a lot has changed since then. The Paktor today, we own another dating app, which is a voice dating app, where you don't get to see the profiles. You mainly use voice to chat up with your match and try to determine if that person is for you. The name of this app is Goodnight. They are mainly based in Taiwan now.
Right.
Okay. And then along the way, we have also expanded into introducing offline matching services, whereby it's more bespoke. So our customers actually come to our offices and tell us what do they want, what are they looking for in their prospective partners.
Okay.
And then our team of matchmakers will actually match them up. And also, we have got image grooming and date coaching services to complement everything. So really, from start to end, the whole stream of dating services is available.
Very interesting. Since you brought all this up, I really want to get into it. Let's talk a little bit about Goodnight first. This idea, how did it come about? I mean, for me, I'm an audio person. And how my other half sounds, I do find that an attractive quality.
Right.
What are your thoughts on this?
Okay, for Goodnight, right, actually when they first started out, the proposition wasn't so much on dating.
Right.
So the reason why it's called Goodnight is because the most active users are really coming from 10 p.m. onwards all the way to 2 a.m. So it's really before bedtime. You're just lying on your bed, browsing with your phone, playing around.
Unwinding.
Yeah. Then you want to speak to a stranger, just to listen to each other.
Okay.
You can talk about anything.
Oh.
That's how it all got started. And then it was actually, it started as a social, more of a social networking app.
Okay.
And then we found a lot of couples actually managed to meet each other this way and got together.
That's a nice story. We'll talk about the offline stuff a little bit later on. But focusing on these two apps, right? Paktor and Goodnight. What's the success rate like? Do you use this as a... Because you started in Paktor, and I've known you for a while. You have a background in marketing.
Yes.
You started in Paktor doing marketing. So is this a big sell, your success rate?
To be honest, we know the success rate of our couples up till the time that they match.
Fair enough.
But whether they go offline to meet up and whether they get attached or get married in the end, we wouldn't know unless they write in and tell us.
Okay.
And unfortunately, up till today, there's still some stigmatization surrounding
using
dating
apps,
products of any sorts, be it online or offline. We have got couples who write into us every few days to thank us. You know, I'm getting proposed. I just got proposed, or I just got engaged, or we're getting married, or we got our first baby thanks to Paktor.
Wow.
But really, if they don't tell us, we wouldn't know.
All right. Have you ever attended, I've seen this, weddings that are themed around a particular dating app because the couple met through that app and they're sort of putting it out there.
If you search on YouTube, you'll find some of their wedding montages.
Yeah.
Depicting their whole love journey of how they met each other on Paktor dating app.
That's nice.
So we do have some couples like that.
But and he's a Singaporean.
All over the world.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how then does Paktor make money through the app? Because is a sign up free? Do I pay extra for like premium or something like
right.
that?
Right. So basically, the app is free to install, but how we charge is our monetization model is really by in-app subscription. Some of the more advanced features are being locked up. So you need to pay to unlock these features.
Okay, what are these features?
For example, you want to filter users out by a certain country.
Okay,
so
okay.
So say you only want to get matched with Korean females.
Right.
Then you need to unlock that feature.
Right.
If not by default, then you'll be matched with Singaporeans.
Right? I see. And I mean, with all the expansion, I assume Paktor is quite profitable now. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, doing well.
Yeah.
Still a lot of plans, a lot of new features in the pipeline coming up.
Demographics-wise, are you noticing anything, you know, like more males, more females using these apps?
Our gender ratio currently is around 60-40. We've got 60% males and 40% females.
But in terms of age group then?
Age group is around 25 to 40 years old. That's our sweet spot.
That's actually, it's quite diverse there, 25 to 40, because you're 40 years old, you're looking at older millennials, maybe even the tail end of Gen X. 25-year-olds, maybe it's a little bit more normal to them because they are born into technology. Yeah.
That's an interesting thing that you mentioned, because actually the average age of our Paktor user has gotten older. You know, when we first started 6 years ago, six, 7 years ago, the average age was they were mainly tertiary students, right? 18 to your 25.
Okay, okay.
And then now as this concept of dating apps become more and more prevalent, then you have more adoption even from the older age group.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit more common. Let's talk about how Paktor is different from other dating platforms in the market. Obviously, the question comes out, how do I know that person is sincere? Do you guys have a hand in that?
Actually, maybe let me zoom back a little bit. So one of the most distinctive thing about our app is that there's not many dating app companies out there that has an offline arm to it.
Okay.
So if you look at Tinder, Coffee Meets Bagel, they are purely an app company.
Mm.
They don't have the offline services.
Okay.
Right? For us, because we have the offline services, we have the capacity to run localized dating events. So what happened in our app is we often encourage our app users to get offline and meet with each other. Because dating app is just a starting point for you to get to meet people, right?
Yeah.
But a real relationship really develops when you meet up with that person. You need to have a face-to-face.
Yeah.
And then we want to help orchestrate that. We try to organize a lot of dating events and try to get our online users to go offline to meet with each other. And the best part is we have moderators there. They're our staff. So it's perfectly safe for females. So that's one of the things, right?
So is this part of this third arm that you talked about, this offline aspect of Paktor?
Yes. That's why this integration of online app and offline services, this integration is really critical to our whole business model.
Right. And how's the take-up like with regard to your offline service? I mean, I like that there are moderators. It's kind of a little bit like speed dating in that sense.
Yes.
What's the take-up? What's the response?
When you say response, meaning?
Meaning, are you seeing a lot of online users going offline? Is that number increasing?
We have a fair share. So, I don't have exact percentage on hand, but we do see more and more app users moving into offline as well.
Sure, but it's enough to get this aspect of the business going. So obviously there's some level of success.
Yes. So if I share with you the user journey, right?
Sure.
So for a single who is not urgently looking to settle down, you are still maybe looking around.
Okay.
You feel you still have time. Probably you are in your before 30s, right? You go onto the app. And on the app, you are actually self-serving. You're actually browsing through all the profiles by yourself. There's no one to help you.
Okay.
And then after you get matched with someone, it's up to yourself to get this person out to meet you and go on a first date.
Okay.
Right? But then as you progress along, you're probably in your mid-30s and then you're PMEB. You're really so busy. You don't have the time. That's when you come to our professional matchmakers and tell us your needs and we'll do everything for you.
Right.
So we match everything for you. You don't have to browse. So we do everything for you. Even setting up for the first date in the restaurant of your choice.
Well, as lazy as though there's a limit, you know. Okay.
Yeah.
But people like that.
Yeah.
People are just too occupied.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you get superficial needs? Do you get, you know, users or potential customers that say, oh, all my needs are superficial? How do you deal with that?
Well, from time to time, we do get some requests like that.
Yeah.
We'll try to counsel them.
Okay.
There's some counseling involved. Because sometimes we have got customers who come in and give us some unrealistic request, and then we'll try to manage that. Because sometimes we know that there's no point in us making you our customer by accepting your unrealistic expectations because we can't deliver at the end of the day. And that's also not what we want as well.
But in this case, love is also an algorithm. The foundation of Paktor is essentially...
Yes, we are a dating app.
So there's
a lot of algorithms running behind it. So I'll be happy to share about that.
Sure. First of all, how do you treat the data that you're getting and a little bit more about the algorithms that's involved?
Maybe I start with the algorithms first. So, you know, there's really a long list of algorithms, but I'll just start with the basics. So for every user who set up a profile on Paktor, we'll collect some basic information on them. The first thing we'll do is we'll prioritize matching people based on their filters.
Okay.
Right. So if you are a Singaporean, you set your filter to search for a Korean lady like I mentioned earlier so that will be prioritized because you already paid for this feature, so we'll give you that, right? Then the second thing is also interest-based. So in the app, we also know whether you have, what's your blood type, whether you have a dog, you have a pet,
or
whether you like to exercise, your horoscope, all this information matters.
So, wait, even my blood type?
Yes.
So in the event of, touch wood, you know, I have a potential donor. Do people care about such things?
Maybe not so much in Singapore, but in markets like Korea, Japan, Taiwan, they care greatly about blood types, horoscope.
Okay.
Right? So we talk about height.
Yes.
Right?
I know some people care about that.
Care about height. And then next we come to machine learning.
Okay.
So this is where it gets more tech, right?
Sure.
So, you know, for any user, after you have performed several swipes in our app, we kind of gather some information about what kind of people you tend to swipe right on. And then we'll gather this kind of information.
Right.
And then we'll have this thing called a collaborative matching whereby users whom you have liked before, we try to foresee who you also like by similarity between those users.
So you're talking a little bit of facial recognition, a little bit of commonality, common heights, common interests, common language.
Traits,
okay.
Yeah, correct. And then, of course, the last piece is also we want to give our users a good experience.
Right.
So the kind of profiles we show, we tend to prioritize by things like when was the last time this user was active. We wouldn't want to show you a profile of a user who is no longer active, right? Or who is not friendly. So for every user, there's attractive score and a friendliness score as well. Mm-hmm. We tend to prioritize all the users who are more friendly.
So to ensure also that there's a higher chance of communication as opposed to you don't want to get left hanging.
Correct.
Right, okay. Wow, a lot of thought going into that.
Yeah.
But you know, people, and you know, we're in an age where data is so important. Data is a big concern.
Yes.
I mean, your photo is data.
Yes.
What does Paktor do with regard to that?
I mean, we have to adhere to PDPA. So a lot of this information really are encrypted. So even when we have a team of data scientists, they're always looking at how to improve the app. Even when they pull out information, it's always on a cohort basis.
Okay.
So the real identity of every single user is not known. Probably every user is known by their user ID in the app. The app ID. It's masked by ID.
It's just harder for me to trace you out to stalk you on Instagram or Facebook or whatnot, right?
Yes, yes.
You've got several markets around this part of the world. Which market is doing best right now?
I would say Koreans and the Taiwanese are most active.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How is Singapore doing? Is there an increase or has there been a bit of a slowdown?
Quite stagnant
from
what I see for the last 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know you're in Hong Kong as well. And just to put it out there, there's been a lot of unrest in Hong Kong. How has the situation been for the past 6 months where the business is concerned?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, we own both the mobile app business as well as the offline matching business.
Sure.
So with the Hong Kong unrest, our offline matching business has taken a hit because a lot of the public transport are down.
Sure,
there's a lot of rioting going on.
Naturally,
so a lot of our customers cannot come to our office to meet us for consultations.
Mm-hmm.
Or even offline customers who have paid for packages, they will tell us to put their package on hold, meaning we already found them a match. We want to send them out on the date, but they don't feel that it's safe to go on the date.
Right.
So they'll say, oh, put everything on hold. We'll talk again, right? Whereas on the mobile app business, it's actually thriving for both Paktor app and Goodnight. Because people are now holding up at home.
Yeah.
You know, they are bored, so they're just using their phone more often.
Someone to talk to.
Yes.
Yeah, because the houses in Hong Kong are quite small. Then what's the plan with regard to the offline business there? I mean, I know people have bought packages. We'll talk a little bit about the packages in a while. Do you hold? Do you wait for things to improve? Focusing on other markets, perhaps?
Yeah, we are definitely focusing on other markets for now.
But you're not going to pull out because you still have an obligation.
Yeah, correct.
Tell me about the packages that involve.
Okay, so what would you like to know about the packages?
What packages do you have on offer? What's the most popular package you have?
For our offline dating services, the most popular is probably 3 to 5 dates. So we sell by number of dates.
What happens here? So I know you there's a bit of consultation, people meet up, you sort of orchestrate the date. So you orchestrate 3 to 5 dates.
Yeah, correct. There are also people who are a bit more kiasu by up to 10 dates, right?
Optimistic.
They don't have options. They don't have options.
Oh, so you can be with different people?
Yeah, of course. Of course. So if, say, today Elliot bought 3 dates, right?
Sure.
So
what's that going to cost me?
It really depends. Yeah,
what
so we introduced this thing called dynamic pricing. So last time we used to offer a flat fee for everybody.
Sure.
But then now we realize that it maybe doesn't make sense. So for example, if Elliot's profile is very attractive, you're very easy to match and you're very attractive to the rest of my females on my database,
sure,
then probably I may even offer you a discount.
Right. But if I'm a hopeless case, I need to pay more lah.
Yeah. Luckily, you're on the more attractive side, right?
We don't know that. Love scams on the rise in Singapore. $27.5 million cheated back in 2018.
Yes.
What is Paktor doing? What has Paktor done to avoid such incidents happening to its users?
Yeah. We take a multi-pronged approach to this. End of the day, we're really a neutral platform. And you know, these predators, they are really everywhere.
Yeah.
The most important thing is really educating.
Sure.
So we always educate our users not to provide too much of your personal information, especially things like your bank account, right, where you stay.
Mm. So that reminders.
Constant reminders. I mean, that's one thing. But of course, we have our algorithms to help.
Sure.
So sometimes, you know, some of these bad actors in the app, their behaviors in the app are very unusual.
Okay.
Right. So for example, a very insincere person without studying at any of the profiles, they just do mass right swiping of 100 profiles per minute.
And the AI can pick that up.
And then we'll auto-block.
Ah, so they get blacklisted.
Right. And then there are also scammers who explicitly display their mobile numbers in their dating profile and say, call me. We will also detect and block.
Okay.
Right. So we always have this ongoing challenge because, you know, I just give you this example, how we identify mobile numbers and then we'll block these profiles.
Sure.
But then these people get smarter. They will actually Photoshop the numbers into their profile photos.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now we introduce machine learning with image recognition.
Okay.
So we detect text or numbers in profile photos. Then these profiles will be flagged out. Yeah. And also becoming more and more strict because we want to provide a really positive user experience. There'll be some users who are more shy.
Yeah.
They'll put up on their profile photos instead of their own face.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put up a photo of their pet. Or anime, so this actually kind of make the whole dating experience not so nice, right? People will be swiping like, what am I seeing? Are these even real people? Yeah.
Okay, very quickly, just to wrap up, Shin, what is the future of Paktor? What's next?
Yeah, so allow me to share a bit also. So I think Paktor app, actually we have been around for some time now, 6 years, pretty long for a tech startup.
Yeah.
The dating scene, the dating requirements from app users have changed significantly. 6 years ago when we first started, people wanted to have instant profiles at their fingertips. Meaning if I open up your app today, I expect to see a limited number of profiles, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was instant gratification. Right. But then 6 years later today, the kind of instant gratification we're talking about is very different. This concept of real time being live has become so ubiquitous across everything that we do. So we actually, one of the first thing we do was we introduce Spoken, which is a feature where we allow users to have a 15 seconds recorded audio intro of themselves.
Okay.
That makes our user profile more, not so 2D, more 3D. Mm. So there's
more color,
authenticity. And everything, right?
Yeah.
But that's not good enough. There'll be more features lined up. for Q1. So look out for it.
That's interesting. You're really evolving the app.
Yes.
Shin Dre, CEO of Punctor, in the studio with me. Thank you so much for your time. It's good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.